It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 23. We're going to begin reading with the 20th verse and read to the end of the chapter. So please take your Bibles, open them up to Exodus chapter 23. We're going to begin with the 20th verse. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit us on our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 23 so we can begin the study very quickly so we enjoy the time over God's Word. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will set thy bonds from the Red Sea, the bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. After reading this precious word, let's go to the Lord in prayer so he will bless the reading and the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come together with you, that you will lead and guide us through your precious word today. It's such a joy each time we have an opportunity to come together. And I ask, dear Lord, that you will guide us, because without the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, it is impossible to learn your precious word. Please, that we look to the Word of God, we search it, we study it, and we enjoy it. We do not have any desire to change it to please me, but I want to present it exactly, dear Lord, the way that you want it presented, so that it will touch every heart, that the hearts will be changed, that they'll come to know you. We were born in sin, we are sinners, and we need salvation. We need our sin taken away, and only you, dear Lord, can do that through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So please, dear Father, that your Son, through the Holy Spirit, as he will come, convict the heart, show each and every sinner that that's just what they are. They're a poor, wicked sinner, and they need salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And as, dear Father, the Holy Spirit presents them their condition, their problem of sin. Dear Father, please, at that time, then, and we know that the desire of the Holy Spirit is to show and to teach that individual of you, Lord Jesus, of your salvation, of the way to have those sins, that problem corrected and your sins taken away. Oh, thank you for your plan, dear Father, because it was designed and put into place before the foundations of the world. And it finally, 2,000 years ago, come to take place, was finished. Oh, dear Father, what a joy it is to come and to enjoy your precious word. Now, please, that you would guide and lead us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, what a wonderful time it is to study the Word of God and to enjoy it. Please, that we will follow after the Word and not our own desires. And that's what I would pray for everyone that's listening today. That's what I want for myself, that it's not something that is man-made. You know, we change the rules to fit ourselves. Well, that doesn't apply anymore today will be a statement that we make. Who gives us the right to do that? You know, some things in God's Word were applied directly to the nation of Israel. And some things in God's Word were applied to the church. Some things in God's Word is directly sent and spoken towards and to the lost. And so there's much to look at, and there's much to study. And that's the reason we must study from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. There is no part of God's precious Word that we should neglect. And so it is such a joy to study. And I hope that you enjoy the same. And now that we're in this 23rd chapter of Exodus, we find that we have the three feasts that we spent the last time we were together all about. And it was a joy and fun to go through those three feasts that we looked at. You know, there are many feasts as we look at those times to take place through the year with the nation of Israel, but the ones that were to be return to Jerusalem, we find to be the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and then the Feast of the Tabernacle. And so I hope that you were with us through those studies the last couple of times we've been together, because these were times that the men of Israel were commanded to travel from wherever they lived, travel home back to Jerusalem. And it's something because they're given this command here, this order here, that they needed to depend upon the Lord. They need to be reminded of the dependence that they should have upon the Lord. And yet they still are not aware of this city, Jerusalem. There is no tabernacle to come to worship. And so for them to, thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. And it is something that these three times all the male shall appear before the Lord God in verse 17. And they really don't understand that. They don't understand that at all. But God will make it clear as the time comes to pass, and it could have happened very quickly, but due to the disobedience of the family of the people, we find that there it was quite a lengthy period of time before they arrived into this promised land and had the opportunity to go to this place that was called in the 17th verse, the place of gathering where they would come, which we know today now is Jerusalem. As we look at these feasts, and I'll list them for you, and then we'll continue with the 20th verse. But we have Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits. We have Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And so those will be areas that we will be studying in the future. But the three that would bring them back to one central place for all to meet with their God would be the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, with that in mind, as we come, we look at the 20th verse. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. And so there's going to be a leader that's going to bring them into this land. And, you know, we know that we have the Shekinah glory cloud. We have it in place. And so with the Shekinah glory cloud, if you remember, we've kind of stopped here at Sinai and we've kind of lost track of what led them out of Egypt, what led them across the Red Sea up on dry land, and what actually led them to Sinai. It wasn't just a man wandering around and all of a sudden found this mount where God was going to speak to them. They were led directly there by this Shekinah glory cloud. Fire by night and a cloud by day, and we know that Moses, of course, was God's man to bring them to there. Aaron was kind of put in second in command, and they came to this place where they have gotten these instructions that we've been going through now for the last several times that we've been together. And there's going to be an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Oh, it sounds like the invitation that every believer has for heaven, isn't it? It's just like there's a time and there's an appointed time that we're going to die and to leave this earth. And, of course, the old body until the rapture of the church, the old body will go into the grave, but the soul will go right immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus. He has prepared a place for us, and it's going to be a wonderful, joyful time. But this was a literal place. This was the land of Canaan. This is the place where Jacob left. This is the place where Abram at the time, before his name was changed to Abraham, this is where Abram arrived when he left Ur of Chaldees over in the Babylonian area, you know, and you look in the on the map, and if you have one of those maps that has a layover, it will show you the area of Babylon, which is Baghdad today, and all of that region where so much fighting and so many wars will continue to be fought until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. But as we look at that area, Abraham was led out of there, and the reason he was led out of there because they were idol worshipers, and they're the same today. They worship gods, but not the true God. And Abraham was led from there by God up over and back down into this land of Canaan, and he lived there till he died. A couple trips down to Egypt and back, which got him in trouble, but he basically lived in the land of Canaan. And then Isaac was born. Isaac got his bride, and his bride was brought back from Ur of Chaldees. He didn't want of the families of the Canaanites that he lived around, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all the ites that we have. God knew that he needed to bring that, and so it came from Abraham's family, and Rebekah joined Isaac, and they married and had twins. And upon having twins, we know that's Esau and Jacob. Well, and Jacob was the chosen that God had chosen to lead and to give birth to the nation of Israel. And Jacob gave birth to 12 sons. And those 12 sons are the ones that we are visiting with here that are at the mount. And Moses and Aaron are of one of those 12 tribes. And so we have gathered them all here, and God has built a mighty nation, a nation of 2 million up to 3 million possibly. Can you imagine 3 million people or even 2 million or even 1.5 million that is camped at the base of this mount as Moses goes up to hear the words and the instructions from God? And so now God has spoken. God has led them there. God has spoken to them. And as he continues to speak, he is telling them right now, I have prepared a wonderful place for you, a place flowing with milk and honey, a place that is so fertile and so wonderful. It's the greatest place on earth. And I have promised that to you. I'm going to give that land to you. And he even tells, I've got an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to lead you there, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. We know that when we get the tabernacle built and the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, that this Shekinah glory cloud comes down upon it. And we know that that's Jesus Christ. You know, it's a pre-incarnate Christ as he is here. And we have sent an angel before. Is that the Lord Jesus? Probably. It is probably the Son of God that is going to lead God's children to their home. And it's a place where I've prepared. I love those words. I underline those words. Beware of him. That's kind of strange words, isn't it? But we need to realize that God is a God to fear. Yes, God is a God of love, but the love is only brought to us and shown when we're obedient. But we have God is a just God, but God is a jealous God. And if we do not follow his way and his will, there's a price to pay. And we find here, it says, beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not. In other words, listen to him. Oh, what words of instruction that is for us today. Listen to him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. That is, if you provoke him. That is, if you do not obey him. And God's word is so clear today that you must come by faith to Jesus Christ. You must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet multitudes of people, multitudes of churches have denied that very fact, have walked away from the personal relationship of Jesus Christ. They have brought in this universal salvation. As long as you attend church and are baptized, or you go through their confirmation time and you stay faithful to that church, then that's good enough. There's nothing in God's word says that's good enough. Because there's everything we do is all as filthy rags. We need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And the only way he can be our Savior is if we come by faith to him, trust in him. We need a personal relationship. And that is a time you invite him into your heart. Invite him into your heart. Please, don't miss that today. And again, as we look here, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and will cut them off. Look what a promise has come to this nation if you obey. And oh, what blessings will pour into your life and your family if you will listen to the word of God. Please, you know, we have version after version that just keeps coming out, and people just keep changing, and, oh, this is just much better. My dear friend, stay back with the old King James and get your Bible dictionary out, get your concordance out, and you sit and you study the Word of God. Study it. God's Word is to be learned. It's not some book just to read. And I can't impress upon you enough to make you aware that we must study the Word of God. It is not a book of leisure to read. Please. And the reason I want you to get that concordance out, that'll give you the Greek and the Hebrew. You can bring vines along with you if you'd like. That'll help. Because as we look at the Greek and the Hebrew and we search God's Word, then we'll have the full meaning of each word and each part, and we'll know exactly what God is telling us. It's very simple, and it's just exciting, and you'll find that you must be born again. Nicodemus found that out when he came. Saul found that out when he was on the road to Damascus to arrest the Christians. He thought he was the perfect religious man. And maybe that's you. You do everything. But you have not come to Jesus Christ. Please, today, that the Holy Spirit, your feeling, that Holy Spirit is is tapping on your heart's door and wants to come in. Says, you're religious, you've got everything, but you need my son Jesus, so please come. The Holy Spirit's doing that. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father to show everyone his son, Jesus Christ. And once that showing, that opening has come, then and only then, when you accept, you make the decision to trust in Jesus Christ. He comes to live within your heart, and you're born again, saved and saved forever. Wonderful. Please trust in Jesus Christ today. Look at what he's saying here. And again, I'm going to back up to verse 21. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, this is a promise to Israel, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. Mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. You know, they were always building images. They were always building statues. And I've always been concerned, and I have people tell me that, Larry, I don't agree with you, and that doesn't matter. That's your decision. Concerning having a painting of the Lord Jesus, isn't that an image? We're not supposed to have any graven images. And he says, well, I don't have a statue of him. Well, you can go into a lot of churches, so-called churches, and you can find many statues. And people bow down to those statues. And you see in many, many homes, you see these pictures. And he says, well, that picture of Jesus has been in my family for generations. Well, my friend, you don't have any idea what Jesus looks like. And we're not to have that image. We're to worship him in spirit and spirit alone. Please, don't do that. And here he is saying that mine angel will go before, and he lists all the people that is in the land of Canaan. And he says, I will go before you, and I'm going to clean house. And I'm going to take them out. I'm going to cut them off. In other words, I'm going to kill them. And the scripture says a little later that I'm going to send hornets, and hornets will drive them up out of the land as you need the land. And so I want you to realize the reason that you can't go in, move in, and live with these other people. The reason is because they do not praise and honor the true God. Now, you see, that's the problem today with many of the organizations that we have that throw all the different denominations together and say, you know, that's all right. We all serve the same God. And they don't care if it's Buddha. They don't care what religion it is. They don't care. They just says, you know, we need to get some common ground here, and that common ground is Jesus Christ. As long as we all believe in Jesus Christ, then we are one, we're unified. Well, no, we're not. Because the Word of God, God's Word, as we look at it in His precious book, you will find doctrines that He has placed before us that we are not to leave, we're not to to turn away from, we're to keep and keep continually. And yet most would desire that we would forget, first of all, the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Most religions, again, don't believe in that. The Word of God tells you, it told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, I don't understand that. You're probably at the same place. You don't understand. Well, you just call upon on God, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will take you into His Word. You can go into Romans. You can go to Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10, chapter 10, 9 through 13. Read those verses of Scripture, and you can enjoy those verses of Scripture. Go to John chapter 3 and read about Nicodemus. There is so much in God's Word, and that's just a tip of the iceberg that you can study and read and find salvation. But salvation has to come upon you deciding to trust in Him as your Savior. And then a walk begins, and it's a walk of separation. And if you have someone that teaches, studies, believes something contrary to God's Word, then we need to stay away from them. I have no desire to worship with someone that does not follow God's Word and stay true to it. God knew that these Israelites were so weak in the knowledge of God that He had to get out of their new country, their new land. He had to get them out, all the enemies, all the false gods, because He knew that if they would follow them in any way, they would pick up on their teaching and they would begin to worship. They would begin to tolerate other gods. God is a jealous God. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, verse 24, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, break them down. God says, I'll run the people out. But after I've run the people out, then I want you to come in and I want you to tear all that out. Because if you don't, it's going to be so easy for you to begin to look at this idol and that idol. And well, maybe that's okay if we would worship that way. Maybe it's okay to bow down. I worship my God. I still go to church. No, God says separate yourself. We need to do the same thing with false teaching today. We need to stay away from it, and we need to look to the Word of God, and we depend upon it and it only for our guidance, not some other book. Most religions, you know, they'll start out with the Bible, but you really don't spend much time in the Bible because you got the other book. That's really your direction, and it's really about the Bible, so it's easier to understand, so don't spend your time in the Bible, or again, get away from King James because that's too hard to study. Oh, my friend. It is not too hard. It's God's living Word, and it's the closest thing we've got to the Greek and the Hebrew. And again, take it. Take the concordance. If you don't know what a concordance is, send me an email, write to me, and I'll explain it to you. It is just a simple book that has every word in it of the Greek and the Hebrew that has been brought to the English, and it will tell you its meaning. It's a wonderful book, not expensive at all. Every Christian should have one. Every believer needs to have one to sit down and study God's Word along with a good Bible dictionary. Oh, you can go a long ways if you have those books. Study God's Word. Look at it. Search it. Enjoy it. God says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods. We bow down to a lot of gods in this country, I'm sad to say. Nor serve them. We serve a lot of gods in this country. Nor do after their works. Oh, there's much done today to serve self and to worship many gods. And we're to break them down and we're to be serious about God's Word. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days will be fulfilled. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. In other words, flee from me. Oh, look at the wonderful promises, and we're just about out of time, as each time it moves so quickly. We need to realize God's promise to these people. I'm going to take, I'm going to run these people out. I want you to clean house. I will, you serve me, and I promise you that nothing will be barren. No young will cast theirs. The land will produce. Your days, you'll have full days. You'll have no sickness. Oh, what promises God gave to these precious people, and all they did was ignore it and went right to worshiping the devil. Isn't it so sad? Well, it's the same today, and it's just as sad today. I hope, my dear friend, that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. I hope that you haven't listened to the devil because he's the God of this world. I hope you haven't paid attention to him because he'll lead you astray and you're going to be in the lake of fire right next to him if you listen. I hope that you trust in Jesus Christ to bring life today into your life, real life. Serve him, praise him, honor him, trust him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?